are halfway to the weekend. It is a spectacular Wednesday afternoon. I'm Scoot on the air. I am so glad you are with us this afternoon. We have so much to talk about, and you know, I consider us to be kind of every day it's sort of a town hall. You know, we get together and we talk, and sometimes it's fun, sometimes it's about music and pop culture, and you know, right now we're in an election year. So we have to talk about politics, and there's just important decisions to be made, and there's a lot to talk about. You know, I've never seen an election cycle like this. For those of you who are just paying attention to politics for the first time, and I'm talking about the millennials and the Zoomers and Xers and Boomers have been paying attention to politics for a while now. But if you're new to politics, it's not always this exciting. And I say exciting because I mean, it's crazy exciting. Some of it is really scary AF. And we're going to talk about some of that this afternoon. But let's consider this sort of a town hall. It's not me against you. It's not you against me. And I think that's one of the reasons that we need to talk about this afternoon. There has been a lot of talk from Donald Trump and from Kamala Harris about threats to democracy. There's been a lot of talk from Donald Trump and his allies about the enemy from within. And he's talking about people like Congressman Adam Schiff, a Democrat from California. Now, is the enemy within anybody who disagrees with Donald Trump? Is it okay to refer to people who disagree politically? Is it okay to refer to them as the enemy? And to suggest that you would use the military against them? So I think it's important for us to define this. And I mean, it's good to figure this out because too many people are buying into it is the enemy within. And if you disagree with Donald Trump, you are the enemy. And I see on my Facebook page, which is Scoot on the Air, I see comments from people who make it seem like I am spewing hate about Donald Trump. And I've never done that. I have never expressed hate for Donald Trump, ever. I have said some things about Donald Trump that are my personal opinion in terms of his mentality and how he thinks and how he acts. And there are some things about Donald Trump that scare me. I disagree with him. I talk about some of the things that other shows do not talk about because they want to protect the image. And I'm talking about shows around the country. They want to protect the image of Donald Trump. So they don't say negative things. But the negative things are true. I have never made up anything about Donald Trump. Never. I've never said something that wasn't true or that wasn't true at the time that I said it. And if it was incorrect, I immediately correct it. I have never lied about Donald Trump. I've never lied about his allies. I've never lied about MAGA people. I've given my opinion about MAGA people. But I think it's important to talk about who is the enemy within, because when we hear this, instead of buying into this idea that, yeah, they're the enemy, man. They disagree with me. They're the enemy. Yeah, he's the enemy because he disagrees with me. He doesn't agree with Donald Trump, so he's the enemy. So, yeah, let's use the military against him. I think it's important that we define that. So we'll do that this afternoon. Also, if you want to make sure that you are registered to vote, because the election's less than 3 weeks away, November the 5th is Election Day. Not January the 5th, as Donald Trump mentioned once to a supporter. Anyway, if you want to make sure that you're registered to vote, we have some information for you. Also, you may not know this, but the state of Louisiana is looking for poll commissioners. The Secretary of State, Nancy Landry, has announced that the state of Louisiana is looking for poll commissioners because a lot of them are aging out. They're deciding to retire because many of them are in their 80s. In fact, you look at some of the poll commissioners, and it kind of reminds me of, you know, when McKenzie's Bakery was open, you went into McKenzie's Bakery, and everybody there was like 80 years old. I mean, did you ever walk into McKenzie's Bakery and see somebody hot behind the counter? No, they were all like 80 years old. Anyway, so a lot of these poll commissioners are aging out. Some have retired to just get out of the business. And I'm sure that there's going to be tension at the polls. there's this perceived tension at the polls. I hope nothing happens. But maybe some people are giving up the idea of being a poll commissioner because they're afraid of turmoil at the polls. Anyway, it pays $200 for a day's work. So what you need to do is you need to get a hold of your clerk of court. You need to get a hold of the parish clerk of court. And I'm going to give you a warning before I do it, but I've got the phone numbers for the clerk of court in many of the parishes in this area. And I'm going to give those out later in the show, but I'm going to give you a warning so you know you can get a pen, pencil out, and write it down if it's your parish. Or if you just want to look it up, the parish clerk of court will have the information about becoming a poll commissioner. It pays $200 a day. So we're going to do that a little bit later in the show. Now, New Orleans, as you have seen in the news and heard on our station, New Orleans is going to host a Super Bowl parade. It's going to be a carnival-style parade. And I think this is incredible. So many people hear about Mardi Gras. So many people have no idea what Mardi Gras is. And it's not going to be Mardi Gras because the atmosphere is going to be different than, say, Mardi Gras Day or a Mardi Gras parade. But it's still going to be a Mardi Gras-style parade. And this is going to be before the Super Bowl. It's going to be all done for the Super Bowl visitors. And I think this is really great. And really, it's amazing they haven't done it before now. But they're doing it now. I think they're going to be at least 20 floats. And the parade's going to line up on Elysian Fields in the Marigny and parade up Decatur Street along the French Quarter. It's going to pass Jackson Square. It's going to take Chapultepec Street to Poydras, and then turn on, and then turn up to St. Charles Avenue, and then proceed along St. Charles to St. Joseph Street, reaching Harmony Circle. So this is great, and this is going to be just great publicity because you know that all of the networks, all of the people who are here covering the Super Bowl, they're going to cover this parade. So, you know, with all the negative things that go on in New Orleans, this is a shining moment for us. And the people who are putting this together for the city of New Orleans are doing an incredible job. And it's exciting. And for those of you who have never been here during a Super Bowl, some of you might be new to the area, it's really exciting. And even if you don't have tickets to the game, it's just exciting to be part of the atmosphere. And the things that are on sale, the vendors that are going to be along Poydras and really all throughout the area, it's really exciting. And for those of you who live outside of the city, I mean, you know, you may have your reasons for never wanting to come to New Orleans. I don't think you should have that attitude, but, you know, but I understand. But during the Super Bowl, we'll talk more about this closer to the Super Bowl, but it's a great time to be in New Orleans. It's a great time to come downtown. And maybe we should really talk about a lot of locals coming down to that carnival-style parade before the Super Bowl, because we need to show the out-of-towners how we party during Mardi Gras. I'm Scoot on the air. Ian Hoke is our senior producer. He is at the controls in the studio. Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon to you, too, as well. Wow, what a day.
Yeah, it is just a beautiful day.
Thank God.
Spectacular, 66 degrees. I walked out of my balcony. I was up late last night, as I usually am. I don't go to bed early. But I walked out of my balcony at 12:20, and I just started to feel the wind shift. I just started to feel the colder weather coming in. And went out a little bit later, and it was a little windier and a little cooler, and this is just great. I wish it was going to last longer. It's not going to last that long, but hey, you know, we'll appreciate it while it's here, and there'll be another one coming along soon. But here, October 16th, halfway through October, and we're finally getting some cooler weather.
Yeah, feels good.
You've heard that, I'm sorry?
I said, yeah, it feels good.
Yeah, you've heard that Drew Brees is going to be inducted into the Saints Hall of Fame. This is going to be before the game, or I guess during the game Thursday night. And you know there's going to be a big hug between Drew Brees and Sean Payton because they meant so much to each other when they were together here in New Orleans with the Saints. So that's going to be a big moment tomorrow night. Let's just hope the Saints turn it around. I think they can. I think much of what goes on with the Saints is in their head. And when you talk about the injuries, we mentioned this on the show yesterday. When you talk about all of the injuries with the Saints, remember that with all of those injuries in the second quarter, the Saints kicked ass against the Tampa Bay Bucks. They came back from a 17-0 deficit. What happened to those same players in the second half? That's the question. And it seems like for the Saints, a lot of this is a head game. All right, if you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And let's go to Ian with some of your early text messages.
Here's a text message that says, Trump and Harris are both ridiculous. Can we throw them both away and start off with their vice presidents and then let them choose vice presidents? Please and thank you.
Oh, do you think it would be that easy? I mean, you know, a lot of people wish we could. They wish we could do that, but we can't. So we have to deal with what we have, and it's Harris and Trump.
It's strange to me that people that think that Trump and Harris are both ridiculous, because this is a thing we've seen on the text line a couple times this week, is some people seem to prefer each candidate's vice presidential pick more than they like the presidential candidate. I'm just surprised by that. If you don't like Kamala Harris, you really think Tim Walz is better? Or if you don't like Trump, you think Vance is better? Like, are there actually enough voters like that out there?
You know, both of those guys, Walz and Vance, looked pretty good during their debate. So I understand why people feel that way. But I personally think both of them are kind of a train wreck. And what scares me about that is, if, God forbid, anything happens to the president, these two people are going to become the president of the United States. And it really goes back to the selection process. And presidential candidates select people based on demographics, based on geography, based on who's going to get them the most votes, not based on who could actually be president of the United States. If J.D. Vance were president, because of a lot of things that he stands for, that would scare the hell out of me. Tim Walz, you know, I don't think he's up for the job, so that would scare me too.
Here's a text that says, I'm reasonably certain that Trump failed civics. The office of president doesn't have the power that he thinks it does. He really should read more and talk less.
Well, Donald Trump doesn't read. I mean, by his own admission, he doesn't read, and nobody's ever seen him read. But the problem is that the Supreme Court recently ruled that presidents do have a lot of power and that they cannot be prosecuted for a lot of things that they might do. And there are things that the president can do immediately with the military that Congress doesn't have to approve. But ultimately, Congress would be involved in the process. But there are things the president can do with the military right away. And that's scary when that kind of power is in the hands of somebody who seems to be as impetuous as Donald Trump.
I'll leave you with this one. Text says, Donald Trump is the poster child for the term cult of personality. Google the definition if you don't already know it. Just read the lyrics of the song by the same title. It fits Trump to a T. For example, I exploit you, you still love me. I tell you, one and one makes three. Oh, I'm the cult of personality. His followers believe everything that the man says, whether it's true or not.
That is true. And we've talked about that a 100%. Lot on the show. Yeah. People, whatever Donald Trump says, people believe it. And so then when they tune in, and that is reinforced on conservative talk shows and conservative sites across the country. So when I say something to the contrary, or when I say something about what Donald Trump said is not true, people get mad at me. But I'm not making it up. What Donald Trump says sometimes is not true. But they believe it because Donald Trump said it. And the truth is, many people listening have known me a lot longer than they've known Donald Trump. But many choose to believe Donald Trump over me.
There's a phenomenon, too, where some people aren't even to the point where they're like, I don't believe you. They're now going an extra rung down the ladder in the rabbit hole and saying, it literally doesn't matter what's true or not. It doesn't matter if I believe it or if you convince me that it's true. It doesn't matter. It's of no moment. Truth is not a knowable thing. Reality is not objective. You know, it's just.
I think that's a very good point. And the other problem that we have along those lines is, the idea that that people just believe the lies, and we've talked about this extensively on the show. Just like incredible fantasies, like illegal Haitians. They imply that they're illegal, but immigrants from Haiti stealing and eating people's pets. I mean, that's just one of the bizarre stories that people believe. That's ridiculous, and they believe it. I would prefer people to admit, okay, I know it's not true, but it doesn't matter. I would rather that than people actually believe in their hearts and minds that some of this stuff is true. Mm-hmm. There is a new poll that I've just seen come on just a moment ago, and it shows that Kamala Harris is at 51% and Donald Trump is at 48%. Still, that's going to be a statistical tie, but we've seen most of the polls recently. Kamala Harris is like 1 or 2 percentage points ahead of Donald Trump. In this case, she's 3 percentage points ahead of Trump. But are the polls accurate? We're not going to know until after the election.
Yeah, I'm glad we're talking about polls today. I have some thoughts I'd like to share about that with you a little bit later. This polling momentum that we're seeing on Donald Trump's side of things. We'll talk about that.
All right, if you want to join us with your comments this afternoon, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 66 degrees, beautiful blue skies. It is just an incredible Wednesday afternoon. There is a new survey out showing that 61% of Americans say the election is affecting their mental health. Is the election affecting your mental health? And if you do sense anxiety over the election and the campaigning, how do you escape it? All right, we're going to talk about that this afternoon. I'm Scoot, and we will be right back on WWL. There is really positive news about crime in New Orleans. The Louisiana State Police, state troopers, have helped out NOPD. And crime is down. Crime in every category is down. If you listen to this show on a regular basis, you remember the time when every Monday and very often, several times a week, I would come on the air and the first thing that we would talk about would be carjackings. First thing we talk about would be murders and shootings and armed robberies. These things were happening at just unprecedented rates. We don't talk about that as much anymore. We're not hiding anything from you. It's just not as prevalent. So whatever has been happening has led us to this point where things are a lot better. And I know, when it comes to things like, talk radio, what really inspires people to call and get engaged is negative stuff. Like, yeah, crime is up, and what are we going to do about it? Yeah, people respond to that. People don't respond as much to the positive news, but we're going to still talk about the positive news because it's important. And I think we should give credit where credit is owed, and that's to NOPD and the state police and working together and our new police chief, Ann Kirkpatrick. She might not be the best driver, but anyway, she seems to be doing a really great job. And I give Mayor Cantrell credit for hiring her. Michelle Woodfork, who was the interim chief of police, she was obviously doing things that led to things being turned around. And she's still part of NOPD. So I think Michelle Woodfork deserves a lot of credit as well. So, look, when it comes to crime in the city, things are a lot better than they used to be. Let's celebrate that, and let's hope it continues. I'm Scoot. Coming up in the show, I really want to try to define who is the enemy within. Is that just people who disagree with Donald Trump or with MAGA supporters? We're going to get to that a little bit later. But 61% of Americans say the election is affecting their mental health. I've got some interesting results of this new survey that's going to be coming up. If you want to join us with a comment, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. Let's go to the North Shore. James, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, buddy. Thanks for having me on, Scoot. Hey, I called in because I had an idea. Something that, you got the singing Trump. So why not have the drag queen Harris Trump debate? So we have Harris and Trump on stage in a debate as drag queens. And I think the cool thing is we kind of put a ICP Gore mix to it. Where on Harris's side, she could have wine, maybe her hubby, like someone dressed as her hubby, throwing out wine and all that, like they do at ICP, they throw Faygo out. And on the Trump side, it could kind of be like a Gore, where you'd have maybe blood shooting out of his ear and all that. And while Harris is sitting there explaining how she's going to make it to where families, if she gets elected, can have their parents be watched by their own family members when they get ill or elderly and need care, or how she wants to help small businesses by giving them $50,000, probably won't be that much, but that'd be great. And, or how she can help first-time home buyers have $25,000, where we can have Trump on the other side doing like he did in the other night in Pennsylvania, where he sat there and danced on stage, totally ignoring Kristen Noem. Which, hey, and another thing, what would be great, because we'd be our drag queens, we could have maybe you dress up as Marjorie Taylor Greene, and maybe he could be Kristen Noem. I think he'd make a great Kristen Noem. I mean, and we could even have Coleman. He could probably be Billy Nungesser, because we'd have to have some of the Louisiana leaders up there, too, you know.
Look, James, that, I mean, that would...
Drag queen, man. Debate, man. It'd be look, great, Trump.
I think drag queens are very entertaining. I think that would be very entertaining. But, you know, the show is the singing Trump, and this guy's already got his show put together. If somebody wants to put together another show and they do that, well, let us know about that. But, look, the singing Trump is truly funny, and I would hope that Trump supporters could have a good time with this as well. Let's go to LaPlace. Kathy, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, so I'm an independent, but I'm volunteering for the Democratic Party. So my job is to look at the rallies, and when I see fake news, I'm supposed to put it on the platform. So the other day, I was looking at one of his rallies, and he said this. He said, they want to ban cows, they want to ban windows in buildings, and when I heard this, I fell off the bed. I was laughing hysterically because the people in the background, they were like, yay! And he said, I'm going to turn the military against the bad people. And they were all like, yay!
You know, they
it
will...
It was pretty funny. It was funny. Like, oh, my God!
It's good that you have a sense of humor
Why
about that, Kathy.
Why do you want to ban the cows?
Well, I don't know.
It was funny because it's so out there, it's so crazy, but people believe this stuff.
Well, and you know,
people really believe this stuff.
They do, and there are people who will believe, and I mean, they will believe it deep in their hearts and minds. They will believe anything Donald Trump says, and so I become, you know, the bad guy when I say that what they believe, what Trump said, is not true. And I'm simply reporting the truth here and never making anything up. Kathy, I appreciate the call. If you want to join us, the Oaken Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. All right, a lot of political ads, a lot of conversations at talk radio and social media. You hear it among friends and family, a lot of conversation about the election. A new survey from Forbes shows that 61% of Americans are saying that their mental health is being affected by the election. 46% say they're feeling anxiety. Do you fit into any of these categories? 37% say they feel stressed. And 31% say they have feelings of fear. And I understand that because there's a lot of fear-mongering, and there's fear-mongering on both sides. I admit that. Donald Trump is a little bit more bombastic with his fear-mongering. No question about that. And he wants people to be afraid that if he's not elected, we're going to lose this country. But then Kamala Harris says that, you know, Donald Trump is a threat to democracy. So depending on your generation, that also determines how you feel about certain things. When it comes to an impact on your mental health, 66% of Gen Z said that they're feeling anxiety. 64% of millennials say they're feeling anxiety. 63% of Gen X and 56% of boomers. Now, I would assume that boomers would be the toughest when it comes to this. because we've been through more, we've seen more, and we're kind of tough when it comes to this. But you know, Gen Z, I mean, they're young, they're very disenchanted, many of them very disenchanted with this whole process and what they're seeing and hearing. So 66% of Gen Z, 64% of millennials, 63% of Gen X say that the election is causing anxiety. Women experience more anxiety and negative mental health reaction to the election than men. 63% of females are reporting a negative impact compared to 58% of males. And when it comes to the generations that say that they're anxious, 49% of Gen Z feels anxious, 45% of millennials and Gen X feel anxious, and 44% of boomers feel anxious. So, you know, that's all pretty close. But the idea of this having an impact on people's mental health is something to note, because, you know, if it's having a negative impact on your mental health, you need to think about how you can stop that, because we should not allow the election to cause us to be stressful. I know that's easier said than done. We should not allow all of this crap that's being said. We should not allow that to cause us to have any kind of mental health issues. Interestingly, when it comes to the positive side, 27% of the respondents to the poll said they were feeling optimistic. 22% said they were excited. 16% said they were happy. And 12% said they were feeling relief. Now, how do you cope with election anxiety? 44% say they avoid the news. 35% say they avoid talking to family and friends. 29% say they avoid social media. And 21% say they're exercising more. And yeah, exercising can help you relieve stress and anxiety. So be honest. Is the election having a negative impact on your mental health in any way, to any degree? And when you get stressed out about the election, what do you do to get away from it? You know, people often think that I've got that, post-Trump syndrome or whatever. I don't. Because I don't live with it. I don't live with it every moment when I'm off the air. I deal with this when I'm on the air. I deal with it preparing for the show. I deal with preparing for the next show, and I deal with it when I'm on the air. But I don't drag this through my life. If somebody approaches me and introduces themselves, if somebody like in public wants to start talking about politics, I'll say, look, I really choose not to talk about this off the air. So how do you get away from it? What do you do to escape the tension and the stress and the fear mongering? You might give somebody an idea of what they might do to relieve themselves from the stress. All right, if you want to join us with a comment, the Oakland Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. 504-260-1870. 61% of Americans say the election is affecting their mental health. To any degree, is it affecting your mental health? Stress, anxiety, fear? And if you do find yourself being impacted by the election, what do you do to escape it? I'm Scoot on the Air. We'll be right back on WWL. At a Fox News town hall in Georgia last night, hosted by the network's anchor, Harris Faulkner, this was only women in the audience. Trump talked about Democrats and said that they're dangerous. They're the nation's most dangerous threat, Democrats. He said they're Marxist, communist, fascist. They're sick. And he went on to say that people like the Pelosi's, these people are so sick and they're so evil. Are you sick and evil because you're a Democrat? Are you sick and evil because you disagree with Republicans? I mean, is that where we are in this country? We'll talk about that in the next hour. All right, 61% of Americans say their mental health is being impacted by the election. Are you impacted at all? And if the election does cause stress, I mean, it causes stress for me sometimes when I'm on the air, but I don't live with this all day long. So how do you deal with it if it is having an impact on your mental health? From Metairie, Jerry, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Yes. I'm trying to find out if you are familiar with the video of Donald Trump that he had out a couple of years back.
Well, I don't know. There are a lot of videos from Donald Trump a couple of years back.
This is a triple X video of him. Snoop Dogg was the host of it, and Donald Trump's wife was on it with him. They was roasting him. They was roasting Donald Trump.
No, I have not seen it.
I saw the video, and I tell you what, it was so bad, so nasty. I turned it off, and I'm bad nasty myself. But this would shock the world.
All right. So apparently, this is a Comedy Central roast of Donald Trump, and you were offended by it.
Well, no, I guess I was offended for the stuff that Snoop Dogg was telling him about him and his wife. I mean, that was, you know, if it was Donald Trump, well, he's a pig anyhow, so that wouldn't have bothered me. But the things that they were saying about his wife, to Donald Trump, Snoop Dogg was telling him all of this. I don't know if you ever saw the video.
No,
I
didn't.
It's out there. You could pull it up on one of these cable channels, and a friend of mine is the one who showed it to me, and I just couldn't believe it.
Jerry, you know, when it's a roast, you know, they go to great lengths to, you know, to mock people, to put people down, to make fun of people. It's, you know, it's roasting them. I guess it's kind of like roasting them over a fire. So nobody should be surprised if a roast, you know, gets out of hand, because that's kind of the purpose of a roast. And I would assume that at the time everybody took that as just humor. Although I can imagine some of the things that Snoop Dogg might have been saying about Donald Trump and his wife. All right, Ian's got a couple of quick text messages for us.
Here's a text message that says, if the election is messing with your mental health, then you're a weak person.
You know, look, I understand that. It shouldn't. It shouldn't mess with you, but it does. And people are just really personally involved in this, and they take politics very personally. So, you know, it's fair for us to talk about how do you fight being stressed, or how do you fight being made afraid of the election coming up.
Here's a text that says, I trade election stress for freaking out about the Saints.
Well, the Saints are a great distraction to the election stress.
Because, for a minute.
Yeah, you want to freak out over something. Yeah, you can freak out over the way the Saints played in the second half the other day. Look, I'm hoping all that turns around tomorrow.
Here's a text that says, Rasmussen polling has Trump up nationally by 5 points. Trafalgar polling has Trump surging in swing states. We'll talk more about that maybe in the next hour. Those are both pretty Republican-leaning polling outfits.
Yeah, I haven't seen those polls. Report on the ones that I see, and I don't see all of them.
There's a reason you haven't seen those, which is that you shouldn't, because they're garbage. Here's a text from Sal that says, Scoot, don't you think that declaring anxiety as a mental health issue is a bit much? People have anxiety about a lot of things, like jobs, schools, bills, etc. So by your standard, we're all nuts.
Hey, look, it's not my standard. This is a survey from Forbes, and it's a survey of Americans are volunteering the information, and 61% say their mental health is being affected by the election. 46% feel anxiety, 37% are stressed, and 31% are actually experiencing feelings of fear. All right, you got a comment, the Okunor Jewelers talking text line, 504-260-1870. I hope we can find a way to come together. We'll do the best we can to at least introduce the idea on our show. We'll be right back on WW. All right, coming up in the next hour, let's define who is the enemy within. And is it fair to say, if you're a Republican, is it fair to say that Democrats are the enemy? Is it fair to say that anybody that disagrees with you politically is the enemy? Is Donald Trump right? That people like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff are the enemy because they're Democrats? And is it fair to even consider using the military against the enemy within? I'm Scoot. We'll talk about that coming up next on WWL. It is a beautiful sunshine day in the Gulf South. I'm Scoot on the air. Really glad you're with us this afternoon on WWL. You know, it's less than 3 weeks away from the election. We've got a lot to talk about. And what I want to focus on ultimately this hour, and I want you to think about this. How do you define the enemy within? Donald Trump is talking about this a lot, and he's talking about using the U.S. military to retaliate against the enemy within. Exactly what he means by that, I'm not sure. Exactly what he plans to do, I don't know. Now, obviously, there are conversations about what to do if there's any violent eruptions on Election Day. And yes, the National Guard might need to be called out if something got to be too serious, or maybe even the military. But, you know, the military is not trained to deal with situations involving American citizens. It's a whole different entity. But yet Donald Trump is really feeding into his followers' hate for Democrats. And you can hate Democrats if you want. But is it really fair to say that Democrats are the enemy within? I mean, as a country, we have had enemies within. We've had domestic terrorists. We've had, in the past, we've had spies. We've had a true enemy within. But is it fair to call people who disagree with you politically the enemy within? We're going to talk about that this hour. Interesting polling information, which we will get to as well. And in an interesting race in Texas, it's getting closer. Ted Cruz is up by 4 points over his Democrat opponent, Colin Allred. But Ted Cruz was far ahead a little while back. It's getting closer. He's 4 points ahead at this point. I just checked in on the Real Clear Politics poll. Real Clear Politics does an average of all the polls that are out there. And right now, and I have seen Donald Trump slightly ahead in the Real Clear Politics polls in the past, but the average right now has Kamala Harris at 49.2%, Donald Trump at 47.5%. It's still really close, very close. So nobody knows at this point, nobody has any idea who's going to win. And, you know, this is different from the past because, I mean, I remember elections when you knew who was going to win. You know, you knew Ronald Reagan was going to beat Walter Mondale. Now, the polls were close for the reelection in 84. The polls were close at one point, and Mondale might have edged ahead a little bit. I don't remember specifically, but I know the polls were very, very close, and then Ronald Reagan just ran away with it, and you knew that he was going to beat Walter Mondale. You knew that Dukakis was not going to win. You know, you knew in some elections that the opponent was not going to win. In this election, we don't know who's going to win. You can think you know, but we really don't know. And we also don't know if the polls are totally accurate. All right. Kamala Harris's media blitz continues. In an interview with Charlemagne the God, Vice President Harris says voter apathy is not acceptable.
We should never sit back and say, okay, I'm not going to vote because everything hasn't been solved. I share a desire that everything should be solved, by the way. Mm-hmm. I think it is what we should all want. But that shouldn't stand in the way of us also knowing we can participate in a process that's about improving things.
Harris also said that the church that she grew up in encourages her to build people up, not bully them or tear them down.
And let's talk about the contrast here. Donald Trump and his followers spend full time trying to suggest that the measure of the strength of a leader is based on who you beat down, which is absolutely contrary to the church I know.
He sells Bibles,
Where our church and my church is about saying true leadership, the measure of that is based on who you lift up.
At a rally in Atlanta, Donald Trump is going after non-white voters, a traditional, reliable vote for Democrats.
I'll tell you what, any African-American or Hispanic, and you know how well I'm doing there, that votes for Kamala, you got to have your head examined because they are really screwing you.
You know, Donald Trump and others are mispronouncing her name on purpose, because it sort of dismisses her, it degrades her. And I think that they're doing this on purpose. And it's reverberating through the conservative media circles, just continuing to mispronounce her name. So just remember that that's their motive. Donald Trump says America is particularly in a state of free fall.
You're working more hours for less money to afford smaller houses, worse cars, fewer groceries with absolutely nothing left to save. Our schools don't teach. Our cities aren't safe. Illegal aliens are pouring in by the millions and millions and millions, and we're teetering on the brink of World War III. Other than that, I think we're doing quite well.
Well, I think a lot of that is true exaggeration, and we know the reality of that. Crime in New Orleans, for example, sort of mirrors crime around the country, and crime is actually down. It's certainly not as low as it could be, but it is way, way down from where it was. Trump gave an interview with Bloomberg News to talk about his economic policies, but he struggled to stay on topic. And there's a lot of talk about Trump having a problem now with rambling, and is everything okay with him because he can't stay on topic? He did not like being fact-checked by the interviewer.
Former President Donald Trump uses an interview on economics to promote tariffs. Appearing before a friendly audience at the Economic Club of Chicago, Trump said tariffs are misunderstood.
To me, the most beautiful word in the dictionary is tariff.
Moderator John Micklethwaite, editor-in-chief of Bloomberg News, pushed back.
That is going to push up the cost for all those people who want to buy foreign goods.
Now, what's going to happen?
Simple mathematics, President Trump.
It's not. It is, but not the way you figured. I was always very good at mathematics.
Micklethwaite often struggled to keep the conversation focused on economics and business.
You got to be able to finish a thought, because it's very important. You know, this is big stuff we're talking about. You can't go that quickly.
You've gone from the dollar.
So let me just tell you.
Trump often repeated old stories and talking points about immigrants, voter fraud, and transgender athletes. I'm Ed Donahue.
And the Harris campaign is seizing on some of Trump's strange behavior after he danced on stage for 39 minutes at what was supposed to be a town hall event. It was kind of like Donald Trump went a little wacky.
I'm going to say what I have said publicly and will say many times based on my observations, and I think the observations of many. Donald Trump is increasingly unstable. And as has been said by the people who have worked closely with him, even when he was president, he's unfit to be president of the United States.
Vice presidential nominee Tim Walz rallied voters in Pittsburgh, Pennsylvania, big battleground state. He told them that they deserve better than what the Trump-Vance ticket has to offer.
It's important to know what we're up against. But look, I get damn tired of talking about this guy. I get tired of seeing him on TV, and I damn sure am tired of him making decisions for the women in our lives. So if you're sick of this guy, Kamala Harris is offering you a new way forward and a better tomorrow.
You know, Kamala Harris is uncharacteristically not doing as well as Biden and others have done on the Democrat side when it comes to African-American males. I'm just asking this question because I think this is, in a way, the elephant in the room. Are African-American males collectively and instinctively, not all, but collectively as a group, are African-American males sexist when it comes to a woman in the White House? And it doesn't matter that she's a person of color. She's a woman. I mean, is that a factor? Because there are some reasons why African-American men might bond with Donald Trump. But this is really strange that she's not doing as well as other Democrats have done. I mean, it's noticeable. And I wonder if collectively as a group, instinctively, African-American men can't see a woman in the White House. If you want to join us with a comment this afternoon, the Open Heart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And yeah, did you hear about that strange town hall that Trump was holding? He answered four questions. This was supposed to be about the economy, a Q&A about the economy. He answered four questions. And a Fox News correspondent summed it up by calling it a very strange thing, the Trump Town Hall in Pennsylvania. He said it turned on a dime. This is a Fox News correspondent. It turned on a dime after two Trump supporters passed out, fainted, needed medical attention in back-to-back episodes that paused the Q&A to stop for a while. The Q&A never really restarted after only four questions, mostly on the economy. Trump talked for a little while, but decided instead to play his favorite music to the crowd. He was standing on stage. The music ranged from Ave Maria to Pavarotti to James Brown. And Trump was urging the people to vote. And then he played YMCA. He was playing hits from years ago. Trump posted on his Truth Social platform, quote, "I had a town hall in Pennsylvania last night. It was amazing. The Q&A was almost finished when people began fainting from the excitement and heat. We started playing music while we waited and just kept it just kept going. So different, but it ended up being a great evening." But critics on social media just mocked Donald Trump for dancing on stage and cracking jokes. And he told one supporter to go out and vote on January the 5th. He talked about serial killer Hannibal Lecter again. And it was really a strange thing. And, you know, there are people now who are making the observation that Donald Trump is losing it. Is Donald Trump losing it? He's rambling. He often doesn't answer questions or even comes close to answering questions. He just goes off onto a rant. And he has referred to Nancy Pelosi and Democrats as being sick and evil. This Fox News town hall with Harris Faulkner from Fox News, this happened in Georgia. This was last night. Trump branded Democrats as the most dangerous threat in America. He said, quote, "They're Marxist and communist and fascist, and they're sick. We have China. We have Russia. We have all these countries. If we have a smart president, they can be handled. The more difficult are, you know, the Pelosis, these people. They're so sick. They're so evil." Fox News host Maria Bartiromo referred to Democrats as lunatics and a bigger threat. And Donald Trump said that we've got foreign adversaries, but these people are dangerous. He referred to Representative Adam Schiff of California as somebody that is one of the radical left lunatics, and he suggested that the military might be necessary to handle unrest on Election Day. And he said that Vice President Kamala Harris, who labeled him dangerous and increasingly unstable, he criticized her. She is warning that a second term of Donald Trump is a huge risk for America. She said, quote, "He is out for unchecked power." The town hall is going to air today. Well, this was this morning on the Faulkner Focus on Fox News. And by the way, it was a Donald Trump interview that was videotaped and, I guess, to some degree, edited. It doesn't mean that the answers were edited, but this is just the way they do this. They just clean it up and make it more presentable in some ways. This aired, I think, at 10 o'clock this morning. But this process goes on, and Donald Trump is talking about the enemy within and increasingly talking about using the military. So I ask you, who is the enemy within? And is it fair to say that, if you're a MAGA supporter, is it fair to say that Democrats are the enemy within? Is it fair to say that people that have differing political opinions are the enemy within our country? You know, the enemy within, that is such a powerful statement, such a powerful description of people, that I don't think it's fair to label Democrats, or if you're a Democrat, I don't think it's fair to label Republicans the enemies from within. Why can't we be just like everybody else has been throughout history, and that is that we just disagree? So how do you define the enemy within? Is it fair to say that Democrats are the enemy within? If you want to join us with a comment, the Open Heart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. It's 504-260-1870. And YouTuber and boxer Jake Paul is predicting that the United States is going to fall if Donald Trump is not reelected, and that we are going to lose our right to free speech if Donald Trump is not elected. So we'll talk about that as well. But let's define who is the enemy within. It's October, feeling a little bit like Halloween. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar, in this day in 2001, Bob Dylan was turned away by security guards at a concert at the Jackson County Exposition Center in Oregon. Why? He didn't have a credential. He didn't have a backstage pass. The guards were told under orders from Dylan's security director, do not let anyone in without a pass. And Bob Dylan shows up without a pass, they wouldn't let him in. I guess he just looked like some old man. But anyway, that's kind of funny. Obviously, he was eventually allowed in. I'm Scoot on the air. It is just a beautiful Wednesday afternoon. Get out and enjoy this. You know, if you don't have a dog, pretend to have a dog. Just go for a walk. Get out in it and get out in it this evening after work. You know, one great way to relieve yourself of stress and anxiety during this election season is to just go out and enjoy the weather. You know, I deal with this on the show, but I don't let this get to me all the time. All right, interesting polling that is out, and a lot of new polls are out. Our new Reuters poll shows that Kamala Harris is at 45%. Donald Trump is at 42%. I'm assuming that that's still within the margin of error. I mentioned the Real Clear Politics poll, which is an average of all of the polls out there. And Harris is at 49.2. Trump is at 47.5. In the swing state of Georgia, Trump is at 52, Harris is at 45, other is at 2%. In the swing state of North Carolina, Harris is at 49%, Trump at 47, other is at 1%. Ian has some information on this polling surge that's going on right now, and it's not new. It's happened before. And let's remind everybody that people want to vote for a winner. I wish there were no polls, but polls are important because people want to vote for the winner. People want to be on the winning side. And if somebody is in the lead, if somebody's not sure who to vote for, they'll vote for the leader in the polls. But is that person really in the lead? Anyway, he's got some interesting information about these polls that are surging right now.
Yes, thanks for the opportunity. Here's what we're gonna get in the Wayback Machine. We're gonna get in the hot tub time machine. We're gonna get in the DeLorean, and we're gonna journey into the far distant past of 2022. I'm old enough to remember all the way back in 2022 when there was the midterms, right? And the Democrats were expected to get destroyed in the midterms, as everybody always does. That's the phenomenon. Whatever party's in the White House always gets kind of wiped out in Congress. It happened to George Bush in 2006, Barack Obama in 2010. Donald Trump lost his trifecta in that blue wave in the 2018 midterms. So in 2022, you have every reason to expect a red wave because Biden is deeply unpopular at the time. And going into the 2022 midterms, Real Clear Politics, they predicted that the Republicans would net 54 seats in the Senate, and they got 49. The same polling aggregator, Real Clear Politics, predicted that the Republicans would gain 30 seats in the House. They gained 9. And they came away with one of the slimmest congressional majorities in history. Now, why did that happen? It's the same thing that's happening now. The 2022 midterms, we were told there would be this huge red wave. There was not. Why didn't it show up? Because at the last minute, a lot of these highly partisan Republican polling firms flood the zone with a lot of really slanted, low quality polls that artificially make the race look tighter than it is. And there's no regulation of these polling firms. If some Republican polling firm wants to, you know, poll 1,000 people, except they don't poll women, they don't poll black people, they don't poll young people, of course their result is going to be very friendly to Donald Trump and the Republicans. And that's exactly what's happening here. You don't even have to take my word for it. Anyone can just go and look this up. You have all these dark money, shady partisan polling firms that literally have not even conducted one poll yet so far in this election cycle. They haven't done one single poll since 2022. And now they're coming in at the 5-yard line and saying suddenly, after months of deadlock, now Trump has the momentum. He's surging in the swing states. He's up 5 points in Pennsylvania, whatever. And why is that? Is it the dancing at the town hall that suddenly has people? Is it because Kamala wasn't that good on 60 Minutes? I don't think so. I'm not buying that. I think it's just the GOP is putting out more partisan polls than Democrats right now by a factor of 26-1. I mean, wow. When I say they're flooding the zone, I mean it. They're publishing a lot of kind of fly-by-night, not worthy, not quality, trustable polls. And if RCP wants to pull that into their average, that's their business. 538 doesn't do that. But Republicans are doing this for two reasons. A, it dampens Democratic enthusiasm. And it gives, this is crucial, this is the really important part I want people to understand. It gives Republicans a reason to say that they were cheated. if Donald Trump loses, because they can say, well, how could Donald Trump lose by 5 points? All the polling averages says he was leading by 5 points. So the reason that we lost is because the election was stolen from us because the vote switching machines or the Russians or the ballot harvesters or whatever it is, they're setting themselves up a fail safe, an excuse for losing. That's what this polling surge is. And I'm not just making it. This is literally a thing they've done in the past before.
Election contention is a money-making proposition for Donald Trump. Whether he wins or loses, he makes money because people sent him money. And we knew this was factual. We knew there was story after story, credible sources reporting that Donald Trump was asking for money from his followers, asking for money to help him with his legal fees and to help him with the contesting of the election, helping Rudy Giuliani, although I don't know if he ever got paid. Donald Trump was using that money. His wife was using some of that money. So those people were just used. They were financial pawns for Donald Trump because they might have given him money, but he made money on the contention of the election. So it's really interesting that these polls are showing up now and may be used as proof that the election was stolen. But again, polls are not always accurate. And we do the best we can to share with you the credible polls that we know about. And Ian brings up an interesting point. When I talk about the Real Clear Politics polls, it's an average of all the polls that they have access to. So that may be tainted with information from polls that are not accurate because they're sort of set up in a certain way. And so, you know, don't believe the polls. You got to go out and vote for who you feel needs to be the president of the United States. And even if you're in the red state of Louisiana, I think it's important to vote, even though you have a pretty good idea who's going to win the state of Louisiana. And I'll mention this again. I think we have 9 electoral votes. I really think that every state should break down the percentage of the popular vote in the state and give a percentage of the Republicans, give that percentage of 9% to Donald Trump, and the percentage of Democratic voters, give that percentage of the 9% to Kamala Harris. So that would make every state viable. We would still have the Electoral College, which is going to be really difficult to get rid of at this point, because the two parties know how to play the game based on the Electoral College system. So they don't want to change it because they've got the political machinery in place to play the game. So it would just be so much better if the percentage of the Republican and the Democrat vote determine the percentage of the electoral votes from each state that the candidate would get. I'm Scoot. If you want to join us with your comment this afternoon, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line is 504-260-1870. And who is the enemy within? Maybe people don't want to really respond to this too much. Maybe people don't want to admit that the enemy within, if you're a MAGA supporter, the enemy within is not the Democrats. Or do you really believe that's the Democrats? Again, the Oakenhart Jewelers talk and text line, 504-260-1870. Let's go to Gentile. Andrew, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon. How are you doing?
Good.
So I'm here to talk about just like my personal anxiety for this election.
Okay.
What I struggle with is just if I vote for Harris, I believe that myself, I'm condemning an entire ethnic group to be exterminated. And I just have a huge struggle with that when all I see every night is death and destruction from our tax dollars being sent overseas.
So you believe that your vote for Kamala Harris is a vote that's going to lead to the extermination of exactly who?
The Palestinian people.
Okay. Well, yeah, Donald Trump is going to support the Israelis as well. I think this is, it's so sad to me, Andrew, that human beings in America can't understand the humanity of people who are Palestinians, who are not part of Hamas, who are being hurt by this conflict, by this war.
I mean, just last 8 days ago, I saw MRIs of children with bullet holes in their head from ages like 4 to 10, the New York Times. 5 days ago, the UN reported that Israeli forces gas attacked peacekeeping forces in Lebanon. 3 days ago, I saw a 19-year-old and a UN polio vaccination site, a hospital. This 19-year-old man was burned alive while attached to his hospital bed while his brother watched. And it's horrifying every single day seeing all these things. And knowing that I know the weapons are built in St. Louis, shipped down the Mississippi. Our longshoremen bring them out to Israel, or they're flown over, and they're used that way. And it is completely against American law. And seeing this happen for over a year has just been so devastating.
Andrew, I understand your anxiety. Good luck with your vote. All right, if you want to join us, the Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line is 504-260-1870. So YouTuber and boxer Jake Paul says America's going to fall and we're going to lose our right to freedom of speech if Donald Trump doesn't win. Do you believe that? And if so, that would make the Democrats the enemy within. Are the Democrats the enemy within? Oakenheart Jewelers Talk and Text line, 504-260-1870. All right, we're coming back with more of your comments, and we'll get to some of your text messages coming up. But I really would like to try to define if it's fair to say that for Republicans, are Democrats the enemy within? Even the extreme Democrats who are doing nothing but voicing their opinion, are they really the enemy within, and should the military be used against them? All right, today on the SOTA Rock Culture Calendar, we wish a happy birthday to Wendy Wilson. I get them all mixed up. Wendy Wilson was born today in 1969. She's 55 years old today, part of the group Wilson Phillips. Wendy and her sister, Wendy Wilson and her sister Carney got together with China Phillips, and they formed Wilson Phillips. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. YouTuber and boxer Jake Paul is predicting the end of the United States if Trump doesn't win next month. He told The Hollywood Reporter he's going to fight Mike Tyson coming up in a match November 15th. Good luck with that, dude. I know Mike's a little old, but I bet he can still punch. Paul says that he fears the end of freedom of speech and millions of illegal immigrants are going to pour across the southern border if Trump does not beat Kamala Harris. He says it's going to be the end of free speech. It's going to be taken away in a secret, tricky way. I think America will fall. The borders will open. Tens of millions of illegal criminals and people from other countries will pour in. And I think freedom of speech will probably be taken away from us in a very secret and tricky way that we can't track technically. I'm also afraid that Donald Trump is going to rob us of freedom of speech. Let's go to Joe in New Orleans. Joe, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
All right. Thanks, Scoot. Scoot.
Yeah.
What campaign said or is implying that we're going to be destroyed from within? Or the enemy within?
Well, Donald Trump is talking a lot about that.
He's the only one that's talking about that. He's the only one that's saying that. So who do you think he's talking about?
He's admitting that he's talking about Democrats.
That's exactly right. So, you know, that answers your question. It's only Trump that's saying that. And normally when he say things, it means it implies to him.
But is it fair to say that Democrats who disagree with Trump and disagree with MAGA supporters, is it fair to say that they're really the enemy within?
Oh, no, it's not fair. But that's his tactics.
Yeah.
That's what he uses to rile up his supporters. You know, frighten his supporters.
I agree. And sadly, his supporters agree with that. I mean, there are people who look at anybody who disagrees with Trump as part of the enemy within who's trying to destroy this country. And that's not true. We're talking about differing opinions. All right. Ian's got some text messages.
Yeah, wow, there's a lot of them in here. Let's see. Here's a text about the enemy within. God, I have so many open right now. Hang on a second.
Well, we'll get to more. Just get to what you can now,
yes.
And we'll get to more next hour.
Scoot, regarding the enemy within, think back to the assault on the Capitol. Since it began at a Trump rally, it's probably safe to assume that the vast majority of the people at the Capitol were Republicans. So they either actively participated in violence or witnessed it firsthand and did nothing to stop it and were thereby guilty by association. So the enemy within is MAGA and anyone who supports them and their vindictive leader.
You know, that says a lot. Those people were definitely the enemy within. Now, that doesn't represent mainstream Republicans, but it represents a lot of MAGA supporters.
Here's a text that says, Scoot, the enemy within is willful ignorance, perhaps accompanied by choosing to live in an information bubble. Even Justice Scalia realized the danger of this, and he always hired very liberal lawyers to clerk for him. He also valued a close relationship with Ginsburg. This is because he understood the critical importance of divergent views, especially when they contradict your own.
This country was built on differing opinions. There was the American Revolution. There were arguments. There were a lot of moments when, you know, you didn't know which direction this country was going to go in or if it was even going to develop, because of differing opinions. So this is nothing new.
And I'll leave you with this one. This text says, I consider people who do not respect the Constitution and are praised by communist countries, they are the enemy within.
Really good point. So if Donald Trump says that Democrats like Adam Schiff, the congressman from California who's running for Senate, if Nancy Pelosi, these people haven't done anything violent, they have a different opinion from Donald Trump. If Donald Trump is saying they are the enemy within, then Donald Trump does not respect the Constitution. I mean, it's that simple. If you've got a comment, the Okunrad Jewelers talk and text line 504-260-1870. All right, she is the, in my opinion, she is the worst singer ever. On this day in 1967, Joan Baez, folk singer, was along with over 100 anti-war protesters arrested for blocking the entrance to the Army Induction Center in Oakland, California. She served 10 days in jail, and she was one of the radicals back in the 60s. I mean, even with people who were against the government, she was a real radical, and really, her voice is awful. She was a terrible, terrible singer. She should have been thrown in jail because of her singing. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar today, we wish happy birthday to Flea, bass player for the Red Hot Chili Peppers. Flea is 62 years old today. We're going to get to more of your text about who is the enemy within, and I think it's important that we talk about this because as a nation, we're moving in the direction of looking at each other, fellow Americans, as the enemy within. And I think that is just such a powerful description of a group or individuals that it really should not apply to Americans. The enemy within is not those people who disagree with Donald Trump. We have a right to disagree with Donald Trump. You have a right to disagree with me. I have a right to disagree with Donald Trump on many issues. I have a right to agree with some things about Kamala Harris. I criticize Kamala Harris sometimes, but we have a right to disagree. And disagree does not make us the enemy. Can anybody support the idea that the Democrats are the enemy within? You know, Democrats are not trying to destroy the country. All right, we're going to talk more about this in the next hour. I'm Scoot. We'll be right back on WWL. It's October. Finally feels like October. Oh, this takes me back. This is one of those songs that I used to listen to on my little transistor radio back in the days of growing up on the mean streets of Metairie. Actually, they weren't really that mean, but it sounds cool. The mean streets of Metairie. I'm Scoot on the Air. Really glad you're with us. It really is a great afternoon. We were talking earlier about this new survey from Forbes that has come out showing that 61% of Americans feel the election is affecting their mental health. And 46% say they have anxiety, 37% stress, and 31% say they have feelings of fear with the upcoming election. So how do you escape this? I hope you can find ways to do that. And just getting out and enjoying the day is one way to do it. And, you know, you don't have to talk about this all the time. I guess some of you do, but, you know, you don't have to talk about the election all the time with everybody. You don't have to get into arguments. And, you know, once the show's over, if I'm not preparing for the show, I don't like to talk about this. You know, occasionally it comes up, but I generally let this go after the show and after I'm preparing for it. But it's a big topic. I am a political junkie by my own admission, and I enjoy following the dynamics of it. And boy, there has just never been an election cycle like this. And for those of you who are Zoomers and millennials, this may be the first election you're really paying attention to. And if that's the case, I appreciate you spending time with us here on WWL from 1 to 4 in the afternoon, because we're going to always do the best we can to give you the truth and to tell you some things that other shows and other social media around the country is not going to introduce you to. I have never said anything hateful about Donald Trump, and don't plan on it. But, you know, this is a very contentious election. And one thing we're talking about again this hour is how to define who is the enemy within. And Donald Trump is defining Democrats as dangerous to our country. Democrats dangerous to America. Democrats like Nancy Pelosi and Adam Schiff, Democrat from California, as being the enemy within. And I just don't think it's fair to give that label to fellow Americans who only disagree with opinions. Now, they more than disagree. They have policies that you can disagree with. But even the crisis at the border is not going to ruin this country. And I guarantee you that Kamala Harris, if she is elected, she better do something about the border. It's interesting that Donald Trump is now talking about a plan to increase the number of border guards. But there was a bill that increased the number of border guards that he told Republicans to vote against. So he was against it then. Now he's for it. So look, the border is a mess. It is a crisis. And whoever wins this election better do something about the border. But aside from that, disagreeing with somebody does not equate with the enemy within. And then the idea of using the military against the enemy within, what the hell does that mean? Hey, let me take a moment to just congratulate those people who are bringing the activities around the Super Bowl to New Orleans, and those who were behind bringing the Super Bowl here in the first place. New Orleans is going to have a carnival-style parade before the Super Bowl with Mardi Gras floats. This is going to be awesome because a lot of people have never experienced Mardi Gras, and they're going to have a chance to experience what it's like. And I think that you know, we, the people of this area, we need to come together and come downtown and enjoy that parade and show them how we celebrate. And the cool thing about this is going to be great publicity, because all the media that is in town from around the world is going to show this parade. And they're going to show all of these activities going on in New Orleans before the Super Bowl next February. And we'll be talking a lot about that as time gets a little closer. There is a sheriff in Georgia who is up for re-election. He is dealing with a lot of backlash now because the Burger King that he went to got his order wrong. He called in backups, and a few deputies showed up with their lights flashing, sirens blaring over this idea that this police officer, this sheriff who's up for re-election, didn't get his right order at Burger King. All right. Are you registered to vote? The election's coming up. Here's how you can find out. You can go to Louisiana's Secretary of State's webpage, the Louisiana Secretary of State webpage. You can Google that, Louisiana Secretary of State. Go to the webpage and enter your name in the inactive voter search and see if you're inactive. Louisiana law allows you, if you're an inactive voter, to cast your votes on Election Day. You can be an inactive voter and cast your votes on Election Day, as long as your address has not changed or you still live in the same voting precinct. Bring your ID with you to the polls and fill out a voter confirmation card. If you have not voted in the last two federal elections and you want to now, and if you have not confirmed your address, you may have been dropped from the voter rolls. And we have a website. It's a register to vote website on our website at WWL.com. You can go there. The story is titled How to Make Sure You're Registered to Vote. You can click on that and find out more information. Before we get, well, I tell you what, I'm going to do this after the next break. I'm going to give you some information on how you could become a poll commissioner, because Louisiana is looking for poll commissioners, and it pays $200 for the day. And what you need to do is you need to contact your parish clerk of court, the parish clerk of court in your parish. I've got a number of the phone numbers from some of the parishes in this immediate area, and I'm going to give those out after the next break. So get a pen or a piece of paper ready, because if you want to be a poll commissioner, you could earn $200 for that day. And a lot of people are retiring, but some people are just deciding they don't want to do it anymore. And I wonder if people are concerned just about just the contentious nature of this election day. So if you want to be part of the process and get paid $200 for it, I'll give you a number to call coming up in just a few minutes. All right, I'm Scoot on the air. Glad you're with us. It is a beautiful Wednesday. Let's get to a few of your calls. I want to continue to try to define the enemy within. Is it okay to say that if you're a MAGA supporter, is it okay to say that Democrats who disagree with Trump and disagree with you, are they the enemy within? And I think this is a legitimate question, because of some of the posts that I get on my Facebook page, Scoot on the Air. Some of the posts make it seem like I'm the enemy. I'm not the enemy. I'm a patriotic American. I love this country. I have different views than some people have. So what? I mean, I've always had different views from somebody else. You know, we've always disagreed. You know, there's always one side and then there's the other side. So why are we demonizing and calling the other side the enemy within? All right, let's go to Gentile. Elmo, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, thank you for taking my call. It is sure. A great day. I wanted to address the enemy within. I heard one of your previous callers suggest ignorance, and that's what I feel. It is absolutely the ignorance that thrives in this country. And I want to read a couple of Isaac Asimov's. I'm part of the. I'm so old. I'm part of the greatest generation, just barely though. I got to vote first in 1968.
Okay, so you've seen a lot.
You had to be 21. So anyway, quoting Isaac Asimov, there is a cult of ignorance in the United States, and there has always been. A strain of anti-intellectualism has been a constant thread winding its way through our political and cultural life, nurtured by the false notion that democracy means that my ignorance is just as good as your knowledge. Now, before interpreting that, I'd like to read another one. It says he wrote this back in the 70s now, or late 60s or early 70s. When stupidity is considered patriotism, it is unsafe to be intelligent. And another one that I like is violence is the last refuge for the incompetent.
Wow.
And, you know, people can look up Isaac Asimov. He was a great science fiction writer. And he has a lot of very smart quotes relating to this growing ignorance. Or I think your previous caller called it willful ignorance. sitting down in front of the TV and watching one news channel all the time. Mm-hmm. And since I first voted in 1968, I want to address the other issue about the anxiety. I never had in that period of time. I voted in every election, okay, but I never had in that period of time any anxiety if a Republican one or a Democratic one. You know, I'm really middle ground. It never bothered me. Life would go on, and they would do their time, and things would work out. But this 2020 deal, since the January 6th and all that, I have a lot of anxiety now, fearful of a Trump victory, and that I've never experienced before. I think the whole nation has never experienced anything. Well, they haven't, you know. 223 years when they first started out from exchanging power between presidents, they've never had a situation like this before. And so I do have that anxiety. And how I handle it, I go write stuff. I have to write my anxiety, what the heck I'm seeing. You know,
no, that's a good way to manifest your feelings.
And I post some of it. And it would be I wanted to post you some of it, as a matter of fact, but I couldn't figure out how to respond to it unless I respond to somebody's comment.
Well, and, you could. I guess you could go to Scoot on the Air Facebook and find one of the topics that is similar, and I'm going to be writing a new blog about the enemy within, and you could add it to that as a comment.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, Elmo, I appreciate appreciate your insight and appreciate you listening, and those were really profound comments. You know, the other really scary thing is accepting as truth anything the candidate that you believe in says, because the candidate that you believe in might be using you. All right, if you're on hold, stay with us. If you have sent us a text, hang on. We're going to go to Ian with some of your text messages, and we'll get to more of your calls coming up. And also, coming up next, I want to give you some of the phone numbers to call if you're interested in becoming a poll commissioner. It pays $200 a day, well, for the day, for Election Day, November 5th, and it gives you a chance to be part of the process. And Louisiana needs poll commissioners, and some people are retiring and some people are deciding they don't want to be part of the process. And I think it's because of the contentious nature of this campaign. All right, if you've got a comment, the Okanagan Jewelers talking text line 504-260-1870. All right, on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1976, disco was raging. And a disc jockey in Memphis, Rick Dees, had the number one song in America with Disco Duck. It was the last novelty song to be number one on the Hot 100 charts. It really had kind of a good beat, but it was a really corny song. Here it is. Yeah, I remember this. I remember playing this in my early years in radio when I was doing music radio. All right, I'm Scoot. Hang on. We're coming
this
right
sucks.
Back on WWL. Yeah, it does suck. Saying that if Kamala Harris wins, we're going to lose our right to freedom of speech. But what about Trump? Is he a threat to freedom of speech? Freedom to say, freedom to think. This is my lucky day. The disregard for basic freedom, the disregard for disagreement in this country during this campaign is appalling and totally unacceptable. And as Americans, we should totally denounce it. I don't care who you're voting for. We should collectively denounce it. Kamala Harris was at a rally the other day in Erie, Pennsylvania, and she says that we know who Donald Trump is, and she featured a montage video of Donald Trump fear-mongering and talking about, quote, enemies from within and the use of the military to handle, quote, radical left lunatics. This is if he wins the presidency. Now, if these people aren't doing anything violent, what's his justification for using the military? Is he talking about rounding up people? Is he talking about using the military against people who disagree with him? He's not talking about violent actions. He's talking about people that just have a different opinion from him. He's talking about Democrats as being a danger to the country and that they are the enemy within. That's way too severe. You can't call Democrats or anybody who disagrees with you the enemy from within unless they're really trying to do something to ruin this country. And having a different course of action on how to make America great, because everybody wants America to be great, having a different course of action to do that does not justify being called the enemy from within. I'm Scoot on the air. Let's go to James in Harvey. James, you're on WWL. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for letting me on, bro. It's such a beautiful day for me to feel so sour, but I'm always negative, so let me continue.
Sad enough because of the Saints' performance in the second half, now we've got other stuff to be sad about.
Well, here's my take on the enemy with them. A lot of people hired this man because he was supposed to shake things up. And whether he was a great businessman or not, our country is in its infancy. You don't shake the baby too much. You shake it too much, then something can happen. So I want to blame the people, some of the finest people in the country that he hired, even in his cabinet. He considered those people to be enemy with him. If they disagreed with him, he fired them. For example, the Veterans Administration. In the first year, he had, I think, 6 or 7 directors on the cabinet from the VA. If you go to the Department of Education, his first appointee lasted exactly 3 weeks before he fired that man. Then he appointed somebody that had no experience whatsoever with public education. I think the name of DeVos or whatever. That was another part of that dumpster fire. And the last example I want to give is he appointed, I think it was a governor, Rick Perry, I think, as Secretary of Energy, who wanted to get rid of the Department of Energy until he found out what they did. He had no idea what they did, and we found out they were in charge of nukes and our nuclear weapons.
And James, you know, I love when Trump announced that he would only hire the best people, and many of the best people ended up being bad in his opinion, and he fired them.
Over and over. And even if they didn't agree with him, and they wanted to continue with the growth of our country, they were enemies.
Yeah, and now some of those best people that he said were the best people, now they're campaigning for Harris and voting for her.
Well, one of the other best people was his vice president. I wonder why he's not running. So people, including you brothers out there, because I got 2 more appointees I want to talk about. One of the least effective departments he had was the EEOC. And the EEOC in this area was closed down for almost 2 years, almost a year before COVID and during COVID. The second thing I want to say to the brothers, because we have more interaction with those two, is the National Labor Relations Board. The people he pointed to the National Labor Relations Board were anti-labor. They were lawyers, and they were consultants to how to bust up unions. And the whole purpose of the National Labor Relations Board is fair practices of labor. I mean, to me, that's the enemy with that. Thanks for giving me an opportunity to spot off, Steve.
Yeah. All right, James, I appreciate the call. Let's go to Thibodeau and Stephen. You're on WWL. Good afternoon, Stephen. Hello, Stephen.
How you doing?
I'm good.
Scoot, the enemy within is simply, it's the elite. It's the political elite, the financially elite. It's just, you know, it's that top 0.1%. It's not a side. It's not a political party. It's just them against us. They do crazy things to distract us.
Yeah, I basically agree with that. But Trump's not qualifying that. He's not qualifying the enemy within as the elite. He's being very specific in saying that Democrats. He's mentioning a few Democrats that are part of the elite, but he's just also mentioning Democrats in general as being the enemy within.
Yeah. Okay. Well, I think he has it wrong, and maybe the military could be used to fight the enemy within if we the people can all decide that the enemy within is the very top who is just running everything and running everything into the ground, ruining it for those of us that have to live in it.
But what do you do with it? What do you do with the military? I mean, he hasn't been specific about that. I mean, is this like just a shallow threat that it will use the military and it riles up his people, his followers? What is the military going to actually do? Are they going to throw people in jail?
Yeah, no, I think the military comment was just like you said, to rile up the MAGA.
Yeah. But I wish I wish
another talking point.
I wish the MAGA people would realize that that's what he's doing. He's just trying to rile you up. He's not going to actually do it. So he's talking about doing something that he's not actually really going to do. Let's go to Ian with some of your text messages.
All right, here's a text message that says, I'm almost 50 years old, and I've never heard of a presidential candidate call other Americans enemies until Trump came along.
Yeah, this is crazy. This is totally unacceptable, and that's why we've been spending the afternoon talking about this, because this is an important thing.
Here's a text that says, the enemy within is Trump. None of this started until Trump became president, and all he does is knock our country. Who needs a felon for president?
Well, there's that, too.
We talked about the anxiety election a little bit earlier today. Here's a text that says, as a person of color, of course, I'm stressed about the election, especially if Trump is on the ballot. Project 2025 will change our lives forever. My parents, who came here legally on a green card, who are now in their 80s, could be deported. But I play video games mostly to escape. All the other elections I lived through were easy to ignore.
Yeah, you know, please, everybody, if you're stressed by this election, don't be. You don't have to be. You don't have to watch the news all the time. You don't have to sit there at your computer and look for things to be stressed about or to be angry about. You don't have to do that. You have every right to be happy, to be a happy American leading up to this election, and it's okay to find ways to relieve the stress.
Here's a text that says, hey, Scoot, do you expect people that got fired for doing a lazy job to give a good opinion of Trump?
People who did a lazy job.
I think the texter is saying that Trump fired people because they were lazy and then they spoke out against him later. Because they were mad they got fired.
I think they disagreed with him. I think they wouldn't. A lot of those people who got fired would not follow through on what he wanted them to follow through on because they knew the law. They knew the scope of their authority, and they didn't want to go beyond it. And so they got fired because they didn't follow along with him wanting them to do something they shouldn't do.
We're not even talking strictly about people that got fired. Bill Barr didn't get fired.
Right.
You know, he's out here. He's got nothing good to say about Trump.
Man, he was a Trump. He was a Trump butt kisser. I mean, he was, man, he did everything to support Donald Trump when he was attorney general. And, you know, he is now totally turned on Donald Trump. So why are all these people turning on Donald Trump? There's an answer to that. But does anybody really want to answer that question?
Yeah, there's lots of people that got fired and came out and had an unpopular opinion about Trump, but there's people that did not get fired that just served out their terms. And then there's also people who quit.
You know? Yeah, that's true.
Yeah, plenty of Republican people who are saying now, you know, people in his cabinet, people in his business world, they're saying, you know, he's a fascist.
In fact, Kamala Harris just held a rally trying to attract Republican voters Republican voters and also Republicans to support her. There are some high ranking Republicans who are supporting Kamala Harris, and Geraldo Rivera, who has been a personal friend of Donald Trump for many years, is voting for Harris. Former President Jimmy Carter, who lives in Georgia, early voting started yesterday. Jimmy Carter voted for Kamala Harris. I mean, that's not a surprise because they're both Democrats. All right, listen, I promise as soon as we come back, I'm going to give you the information, some of the phone numbers for the parish clerks of court. If you're interested in being a poll commissioner, we've got some numbers for you coming up next. On the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture calendar, on this day in 1982, Dolly Parton's song, I Will Always Love You, was number one as a country hit. It was a country hit in 1974. It went back on top in 1982 because of the movie The Best Little Whorehouse in Texas, which starred Dolly Parton and Burt Reynolds. Funny movie. The song was number one by Whitney Houston in 1993. But yeah, Dolly Parton was the original singer-songwriter for I Will Always Love You. Whitney Houston made it really famous, but Dolly Parton was the original, and it was the first song at the time in 1982 to become number one two different times. I'm Scoot, and we'll be back on WWL. I don't know why this country has become divided to the point where we've got a presidential candidate referring to Democrats, fellow Americans, as the enemy within. Representative Jim Jordan, Republican from Ohio, he was talking in an interview with Newsmax about the Democrats being the party of censorship. And he says that the left is the party of censorship, and to protect freedom of speech, we have to unite and elect Donald Trump. Let's go to Michael in Metairie. Michael, you're on WWL. Good afternoon.
Hey, Scoot, real quick, I want to talk about the inequities and the bizarre nature of the electoral process in America. It's the only process in America or in the world where you can lose by 3 million votes and still win. And by the way, Donald Trump said today, he said, the American people want this product. I went, well, Donald, you need to look in the mirror, because 3 million American people voted, 3 million more voted against you when Hillary ran against you. Also, the other dumbest president of all time, George W. Bush, was beaten by 500,000 people of the real people voting, not some stupid electoral process. And this is, I'm sure they didn't think about this, these great founding fathers. But the electoral process can lead to this bizarre result. You get one person wins by 6 million votes. Say it's Kamala.
Michael, look, I agree with you about the Electoral College. I have feelings about that, but we're not going to change that between now and November 5th. So I think we just need to focus on the system we have and do the best we can with it. Look, before I go any further, let me give you this information. If you would possibly want to be a poll commissioner for the upcoming election, Louisiana is looking for poll commissioners. It pays $200 on Election Day, and you need to contact the clerk of court in your parish. Here's the phone number for the clerk of court in Orleans Parish, 504-407-0000. That's 504-407-0000. Here is the number of clerk of court for Jefferson Parish, 504-364-2900. 504-364-2900. Here's the parish clerk of court for St. Tammany Parish, 985-809-8700. 985-809-8700. Here's the clerk of court for St. Bernard Parish, collectively known as the parish, 504-271-3434. 504-271-3434. For St. Charles Parish, this is the clerk of court number, 985-783-6632. 985-783-6632. St. John the Baptist Parish, clerk of court, 985-497-3331. 985-497-3331. And here's the clerk of court for Plaquemines Parish, 504-934-6610. 504-934-6610. And if you're in Terrebonne, Lafourche, or any one of the other parishes, any parish, just contact the clerk of court in your parish and find out about being a poll commissioner. They might need you. And again, it pays $200 a day. And some people have retired, and some people have decided they just don't want to be part of the process anymore. We've got to get to a break here on the Scoot on the Air Rock Culture Calendar. On this day in 1976, this was the number one album in the country. Songs in the Key of Life, Stevie Wonder. Double album, had some really great stuff on it, and some of the deep cuts on this were just really, really brilliant things. And, you know, here was a song that, you know, we all remember. And again, this is one of those songs that I remember playing as a DJ when I was doing a morning show on music radio. But yeah, this was the number one album. You know, a lot of disco was going on in 76, but there were some songs that were not disco that made it big, and the songs on this album made this album number one in the country. I'm Scoot, and we'll be right back on WWL. All right, Sports Talk is coming up next with Bobby, Mike, and Steve. The Saints play Sean Payton and the Broncos tomorrow in the Dome, and we'll be talking about that a lot on the show tomorrow. I want to thank our Program Director and Brand Manager, Diane Newman, Assistant Program Director and Brand Manager, and Senior Producer of Scoot on the Air, Ian Hoke, Market Manager, Dan Barron, News Anchor, Chris Miller, and Traffic with Joe Cardosi, who loves Disco Duck, obviously. And as always, I thank you for being part of the show. Join me on Scoot on the Air Facebook. I'm Scoot. Love you, New Orleans.